Shalom, everybody. It's Restoration Hour time again. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see all of you. Welcome. I hope that you've had a wonderful day. It's Leah and Yosef here, and we are looking forward to spending the next hour with you because we know and we trust and we believe that Abba Father is really, really going to be with us as he already is with us, but that he's going to speak to us as we need him tonight. And so welcome. It's so good to see all of you on the Restoration Hour. Whoop, whoop. I can't wait to be with you all. And you know what? It's just so amazing. Last week, if you were here on the Restoration Hour, it was such a blessing to be here. It was incredible, you know, and we received just incredible messages and emails after the Restoration Hour last weekend. Just incredible. You know, Yosef, it really just built my faith and revived my faith, stirred my faith. You know, things that people had been writing about in their journals, questions that they had been asking to the Father in their own personal time, you know, big questions and real, very messy, hard things that they were asking the Father. He answered directly, you know, last week on the Restoration Hour. And that for me is such a powerful, powerful reality. We often joke and say, you know, if only the Father would speak audibly to us, you know, if only he would just arrive, you know, and just speak to us. Can't he just speak audibly, you know, even one time? We just need to hear. And that happened last week on the Restoration Hour, and people testified to that last week. It was just such a blessing. We give him all the praise. And you know what, my heart and my prayer this evening is that he touches our hearts, that he speaks to us, that he does his will, his way in all of our lives. And so Yosef, welcome to you as well this evening. I know that you're looking forward to this time together.
I am, and it's good to be back again. And you know, Leah, like you said, last week we came to see how important it is to allow the Father to speak to our spirits. And not only that, but also we were speaking about Noah last week and how important it is to look at Noah's life and to, you know, break up Noah's life. Not only, you know, the parts that we always read about, like him building the ark, but we really came to understand the depth of who Noah was and how important that is for us as people. So I really believe this evening, you know, like you said earlier, it's important that we have times where we are able to, you know, have those words spoken to us, also where we receive the word of Yahweh. But on the other side, you know, what happens when those times are not always around? What happens when we are not hearing from Yahweh? What happens when times are tough and things are silent and Yahweh is not speaking, or maybe we're not receiving a word? And I feel this evening that the message that we're going to share with you from our hearts is a message I believe that is relevant for every single one of us as believers, no matter where we are in our walk, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been walking this road, no matter how long you've been keeping the Torah or you know, doing the festivals, it doesn't matter. I believe that in our lives we go through seasons, as Yahweh's word says, and sometimes those seasons are flowing with milk and honey, and there is goodness and mercy and all these things that happen. But then there is other times where things are difficult, where life is hard, where Yahweh's voice is not so audible, where he's silent and he's not even speaking to us, where we're going through hard times. Maybe family members have died or people are going through tough times. And in that moment is the time where we cry out to Yahweh and ask him, you know, where are you? And speak to me. And sometimes Yahweh speaks very clearly and other times he doesn't. So this evening I want us to touch on, you know, that reality of when Yahweh is silent. How do we deal with his silence? How do we grow through that silence? And is it, you know, is it something that is our fault, or is it something that we have to always point our finger at ourselves? And I really feel this evening that Yahweh wants us to take a different perspective. He wants us to look at it as a loving Father wanting to show us the reasons behind sometimes why he's silent. And that it wasn't just, it's not just you, it's not just me, that it was from the very beginning of time that people felt this way. That people have always cried out to Yahweh in desperation and asked him, you know, why are you silent? There was 400 years during the book of Malachi to the New Testament that they call the intertestamental period, where Yahweh supposedly was silent. He wasn't speaking, like where we don't have any information in the scriptures. So it is a reality that Yahweh is silent often. So I really want us to pray, Leah, and then get into this evening.
Father, we just thank you so much this evening that you are such a mighty God, that you are such an awesome King. And Father, we open up our hearts just to receive from you today. Father, we know that in this life, you said it, Yeshua, you said that we will have trials, we will have struggles, we will have these things that come our way, but we can take courage because you have overcome the world and you have the ultimate victory. And this evening, we come to you with our hearts wide open to speak your word of truth into our hearts and into our lives. Father, your word says that you give us the word that sustains the weary. And where we are weary today, Father, we pray for a sustaining word. And Father, even if we feel joyful in our hearts, Father, we pray that you would be able to just minister your truth and your word to us. We welcome you into this place, Yeshua. We know that you are already here abiding with us and among us. And so speak to our hearts. And Father, the needs that we come with this evening, we know that you are so loving, so faithful, and so gracious to meet them. And we just thank you for this, and we welcome you in. Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Leah, I was sitting with this whole thought this, you know, today actually, and I was sitting and thinking to myself, you know, how often we go from place to place or we meet people, and you know, oftentimes people will, you know, you'll get into a conversation with somebody and you'll be talking about the Father, and the conversation normally turns to, you know, Yahweh just, you know, has Yahweh been speaking to you, or Yahweh has been speaking to me. And sometimes you think to yourself, but man, this person has received all this understanding and all this wisdom, or they have this, you know, immense download kind of like from Yahweh consistently. And then sometimes you stand there and you think, well, it isn't always like that for me. And then you kind of feel like, man, you know, Am I in the right place, or am I in the wrong place? Why is it that sometimes for my life, Yahweh speaks so clearly? And to even take it further, so often you can be so blessed by Yahweh to be able to pray for others and speak into the lives of other people for their lives. But then for your own life, you have this feeling of, man, where is the Father? He's not speaking to me. And there are times when it's clear, and then there are times where for your own life, there is no understanding, or there is no fresh word. It's kind of like it becomes a barren place. And I think sometimes, you know, even when we are, it's the same as somebody that's working and has to design things or create something new. If you don't have that newness or that new thing, it becomes very difficult. So being a believer and being a person that seeks the Father, whether we teach others or whether it's just for our own lives, it is important for us to have that constant relationship with the Father. So the question, like I said, is why then is there times where Yahweh is silent? And you know, I want to draw your attention this evening to the scripture that's found in the book of Job. And you know, Job, I like his life, because Job's life is actually a story of Yahweh's grace upon his life, but not only his grace. You know, we always look at Job's life and go, oh, shame, poor Job. But actually, if you look at Job's life, we shouldn't say, oh, shame, because Yahweh chose Job because Job was Yahweh's servant, and Yahweh looked at his life and found him worthy to be tested by the enemy, thinking that, you know, this guy is not going to give up. So this is my servant with whom I'm well pleased. So Yahweh counted his life worthy to be tested by the enemy, knowing that Job's life would be able to tell a story. So when we tested and we go through all these trials, we should understand that Yahweh believes in us, that Yahweh has a plan for us, that Yahweh knows that you can make it to the end, just like Job did. Even though he questioned, even though he felt like, man, this is crazy, listen to what he says. In Job chapter 23 and verse 8, he says, but if I go to the east, now he's talking about think about Yahweh that is silent. He says, but if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. But when he is in the north, I cannot perceive him. When he turns south, I do not see him. Yet he knows the way that I take. If he tested me, I would come out as gold. You know, how many of us can honestly say that even though when I go to the east, I can't find him, even when I go to the west, I still can't find him. But if this is Yahweh testing me, if this is Yahweh that's trying my heart, if this is Yahweh that's taking me through something, then it's okay, because even if he does it, I'll still come out at the end of this as gold. I'll still be able to be refined. I'll still take something from this, and I'm not going to give up. Despite what my mind is telling me, despite the fact that I feel like it's my fault, Because oftentimes when Yahweh is silent, the default setting that we as human beings go to is, what did I do? What have I done to deserve this? What have I done to receive this silence? Why? What is it, Yahweh? I've done all this. I've prayed. I've sought your face. I'm spending quiet time with you consistently, but I'm not receiving anything new. Nothing is actually coming. And you know, I want to ask you, and I ask this question to myself, you know, when last, or has it been a long time since you last really heard from Yahweh? Has it been a long time since he has given you a fresh word or a fresh direction for your life, a fresh kind of passage or understanding of who you are? You know, sometimes when we get saved, then we receive these words that, you know, Yahweh says X, Y, and Z, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be a great person in Yahweh's kingdom, or you're going to do this and that. And sometimes we tend to run after those kind of words consistently. And it becomes that we think to ourselves that Yahweh is not actually speaking to us, but in essence, he actually really is speaking to us. It's just that we don't want to hear those little words or those smaller directional things or those things for our lives that sometimes seem like they are insignificant, but in essence, they are actually very important. So we run after the bigger words, the words about our calling, the words about our purposes, the words about who we're going to be. But that's not what Yahweh wants. Yahweh wants us to understand that those words sometimes come to fulfillment much later, but yet in the quietness and in the day-to-day things that we do, Yahweh is still talking. He might not be talking as audibly as he did in the beginning, but he's using people around us. And sometimes Yahweh uses our community. He uses our families, our friends. He uses the place that we work in. He uses the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But it's for us to be able to discern what Yahweh is saying through other people.
You know, Yosef, I think it also comes down to, oftentimes I believe that we think that Yahweh only speaks maybe one-dimensionally. In other words, you know, he only speaks. Think about the reality of speaking. We are speaking now, so we can hear it audibly. It's what we understand speaking to be. You know, that is our humanness. We understand there's verbal and there's nonverbal communication. That's all there is, really, what we say and what we convey. While I believe that with the Father, it's not so. You know, he doesn't use that audible voice to speak to us. And I think that because we're human beings, that's what we crave, and that is what we want. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that is what we are used to. But Yahweh speaks differently in different seasons of our lives and in different ways in our lives. And I truly believe that it's because he wants to cultivate a three-dimensional relationship with us. He wants us to not be able to just hear him audibly through someone else, you know, or through your community where you fellowship, or through people that love you, or through people that pray for you, or through that prayer that's audible, but also in different ways, in different manners, in things that we, you know, see or hear or experience in within ourselves, you know, around us, in the miracles that we can witness, in a passing by of somebody, or just something that happens just in our day to day. We can experience Yahweh that way. And I believe that it's when we become attuned to him and the ways that he can speak to us, then we'll be different. And I know for me, I know it's strange as I think about it, as I have been thinking about it this week. You know, August and September was actually quite incredible, because I heard Yahweh very clearly. Now, August, obviously, we had COVID, and it seemed like quite an intense period, which it was, but Yahweh's voice was very audible to me. And in September, his voice was very audible, and it seemed as though, and I didn't anticipate it being that way, but when October came, Yahweh was silent. And then a lot of hard things started to happen in our lives, and, you know, some, you know, bad news and just all sorts of hard things. And I remembered that footprints, you know, that little footprint story of the hard times where he carries you, but you only see one set of footprints. So it's kind of like you've been silent, but now is the time where it is the hardest. And so it is so interesting. And Yahweh's been saying to me, you know, I want you to go back to your old journals and just read through them. He's not really speaking to me. But as I go back to my old journals from 5-6 years ago, Yahweh is speaking to me. So think about it like this, and it hit me so powerfully today. The things that I'm actually struggling with right now are things that I've written about in my journal 5-6 years ago that Yahweh said to me. He spoke to me about certain very, very specific things, encouragement for those specific things. So the very word that I need in the season of my life, I wrote to myself 5 or 6 years ago through Yahweh speaking to me, because he knew the lesson he was teaching me then was relevant for then, but it's also relevant for now. And so sometimes the things that he said to us 5 or 6 years ago are so relevant for that moment, because that's our present. But he also knows that we need that word for our future. And that is mind-blowing to me, because things that he told me, you know, 5 years ago, I would need now. And it was the same I experienced that in August, because in July, and I shared this on the Restoration Hour, I was blessed to be a speaker at a wonderful women's event. And Yahweh shared a word with me, and I was like, okay, I'm going to minister that word, because that's going to be for someone. And we pre-recorded in July, and I watched it back when it was live in August, and I cried the whole way through, me ministering my own word, Yahweh's word, because the word that he spoke was for me. That is how we know it's also, you know, the Ruach of Yahweh speaking to us. Sometimes he can tell us things, and we heard it in 2013, 2014, even through someone else, you know, or a dream we had, or a prophetic word we received in a Bible study we went to, or whatever, that word is still relevant for right now, because Yahweh is outside of time. So we think it's old, but it's not old.
Amen. You know, that actually brings me to my next point that I wanted to make. And the point is this, that what Yahweh speaks to us, what he has spoken for us, and what he has said to us, whether it be about your purpose, whether it be about your life, whether it be about who he wants to deliver in your family, whatever thing he has told you, those things, they continue, as you said earlier, they continue to be fulfilled without his having to speak them again. Mm-hmm. We have to understand that what Yahweh has said shall come to pass. Yahweh doesn't have to go back and repeat himself over and over and over. He never repeated himself over and over when he spoke to Abraham and told Abraham what he needed to do. We sometimes expect Yahweh to tell us something over and over and over. We kind of want to have this you know, assurity continually that what Yahweh said is the right thing. But he doesn't have to do that. When he speaks, he speaks and it stands. That we have, you know, oftentimes as well, people will turn around and say, well, Yahweh is silent. But the truth of the matter is, he might be silent in your life in the way that he might not be speaking to you so clearly in your journal, but that might be for a reason, that he actually wants you to spend more time in the Word, because that's also a place where he's been speaking. Yahweh has been speaking in the Word from the very beginning of the foundation of the world. And we have 66, think about it, 66 books and thousands upon thousands of verses that are there. We know that, okay, there weren't verses and things like that, but we know that there are 66 books that Yahweh has given to us, where he is speaking through his people and audibly to us. If you think about it, he's speaking to us whenever we pick up the word of Yahweh. So sometimes we are always running after the supernatural. We're always running after the man, the prophet, the word. And Yahweh wants us to pause and say to ourselves, well, maybe I need to go and I need to spend time with Yahweh alone and read his word, because his word is important and Yahweh speaks to me through his word. It's Yahweh speaking to my life and showing me the promises and all the commandments that I need to keep, and everything is found there in his word. So people are always looking, like I say, for that supernatural. But sometimes there is a place and there is a time for those words. But at the same time, Yahweh wants us to learn his word, to read the scriptures, to discover Yahweh in the word of Yahweh. Because if we don't, we're going to be tossed around by every wave of doctrine. So it's important that we understand that. And also, like you said, we need to understand something. Oftentimes, Yahweh will say to us, you know, I'm going to use your life for my glory. Or Yahweh, maybe you'll be sitting in a Torah group, or you were once upon a time, you know, in church or somewhere, and somebody came and prayed for you and said to you, you know, Yahweh has a calling on your life. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh has a plan for your life. I believe that many of you that are listening to this Restoration Hour have been called for greater things. But in your life, those greater things haven't maybe come to fruition yet, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to. It just means that Yahweh, his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's our character, our lives, our journeys that have to take us to that destination. Mm-hmm. It's the way I understand it is that Yahweh makes us into a weapon. He makes us into swords, or he makes us into any kind of weapon. And if you think about a weapon is not made, it's not made in a wooden box. It's not made in, you know, it's not made on a table. It's made in the fire. You take that iron, you heat it up, and you beat it with a hammer, and you form it in the fire so that it can become that sword or can become that axe. So journeys that we go on in this life that we're in is all a process where Yahweh is speaking, not speaking, for a reason. He is changing our hearts, and he is causing us to be leaning not upon our own understanding, but upon him. So often we want to lean upon our own understanding. When we come back after this song, I really want us to also touch on the dangers of when we receive a word and then it doesn't come to fulfillment, and we go and try and self-fulfill those words because we think that's what we need to be doing. So we don't really trust the word of Yahweh that is going to come to pass. So we run after the word and we make it happen. We do things in order for that word to be fulfilled. Or we run to friends and we run to other people, and we think that their words that they're speaking to us or what they're telling us is right. But it wasn't the truth of the word that Yahweh gave us. So we get swayed. And then I really do believe sometimes we go off track. And Yahweh has to be silent in order for us to understand that what he told us is the truth and what we're hearing is not. So we need to come back.
That's so important to really consider that. And I think that that's an important point to get back to when we get back. But let us go to a really cool song. It's called When You Speak by Jeremy Camp. Enjoy, and don't go anywhere. We will see you when we get back.
I find it's always the lie that is loudest. I know the one with the power is never the one who is shouting. I lean in, I know that I need to listen. Through all of the thunder you whisper, even in doubt you are with me. Like a love song that I've always known, your word hits me deep inside my soul. When you speak, I'm found in the sound of peace, be still. You're not the God of confusion. Why do I feel like I'm losing my mind every time? I can't see what you're doing. Like a love song that I've always known, your word hits me deep inside my soul. When you speak, I'm found in the sound of peace, be still. Redemption's frequency, healing me. It's the Father whispering, mercy over every need, breaking through and breaking free, healing me, it's healing me. When you speak, when you speak.
Song, Yosef. Well done. That was Yosef's choice on the Restoration Hour this evening. And so if you just joined us, I know that you haven't. I know that you've been here all the time. And we are talking about, you know what, Abba Father's voice and what to do when, you know, there's a time of silence. I also want to say, Yusuf, that sometimes we spoke about it earlier on, we don't hear the Father because we think we know what he's going to say to us. And sometimes we can think that he's going to be negative with us. We can think that, you know, because he was silent and now we're really trying to hear him, maybe we've done something wrong, you know, and then it causes a lot of confusion, and it causes a lot of, am I wrong, you know, or am I doing something? Okay, no, if he speaks to me now, he's going to rebuke me, reject me. He's going to be harsh with me. And maybe I have these expectations and he's not meeting them. And maybe I shouldn't have expectations. And there's all these realities. And it makes me think of, you know, the guys on the road to Emmaus that we find in Luke 24. And I was really thinking about them. I think about them like quite often because I think there's so many lessons we can learn from their lives. And it actually says in Luke 24, and it's particularly in verse 21, where it says that, you know, they had this expectation, and that was the expectation of everybody at that time, that there would be this political and military leader that would rise up. And we know that that's what the Jewish people were anticipating, you know, and for good reason, they had an expectation that Yahweh was going to work in a way that they really needed in that time. That, you know, that this kind of savior of their immediate physical reality would rise up and would help them and would deliver them and free them from the oppression of Rome. And that was what they were anticipating. And that's what these two followers of Yeshua who are now walking away from Jerusalem, that was their expectation. The Bible tells us so. And, you know, when they didn't get the thing that they were hoping for, that relief from that physical oppression of Rome, they kind of turned away now because Yeshua had come. They looked at him, they saw him as Messiah, but thinking Messiah is going to be this conquering king. And then Yeshua died, and then all those expectations and all those hopes were really dashed. But they didn't really realize when they were walking away from Jerusalem that what they really needed was not someone who would temporarily save them from the might of Rome, but what they really needed was someone who would save their eternal soul, you know. And sometimes that is how it is. Their expectation was broken, and so their hearts were broken. And Yeshua doesn't come and rebuke them, reject them, just like I said earlier on, even though they thought he was going to act in a certain way. He comes and he walks beside them. And then he, you know, it's the moment that he breaks bread with them that their eyes are actually open to who he is. And that's because when he came to fellowship with them and then his voice spoke into that situation, they had that clarity. And that's sometimes how it is with us in life. We go through hard things and expectations aren't met. And Yahweh's word that he speaks to us, you spoke about this earlier on before the song, sometimes he speaks words to us and they don't get fulfilled. Yeah. And the truth is, we can spiritualize that away as much as we want, but that is very hard to deal with. You know, that's where doubt comes in, or disbelief, or brokenness, depression comes in. I've met a lot of people in life who have had Yahweh speak to them and then things don't happen. And it results in a lot of hardship sometimes, you know. And I believe that that's what happened with these guys in Luke 24. They expected Yeshua to be a certain way, but what they really needed was him to be the savior of their soul, not of their physical, political situation. And I think that oftentimes when we want to hear the Father speak to us, we think it's going to be in a certain way. We also have expectations of how he's going to speak to us or what he's going to say. And those expectations could be, oh, he's mad with me and he's going to be nasty with me. Or the expectations could be, oh, he's going to fulfill that word of me becoming that great evangelist that he spoke 10 years ago. Oh, he's going to fulfill it now. And both of those things become part of what we expect. And then when it doesn't happen in that way, that's when we get despairing and depressed. And I remember back in 2007 when you and I met, you know, I remember vividly not even knowing you, but I ended up, and it's a long story, but I ended up where Yusuf was busy praying in a room all on his own at the Bible college where he was, and I heard him praying from about 20 yards away, and I walked in. And at the time I was coming out of a very broken relationship, and my heart was still broken about this relationship that I was in. And Yusuf prayed for me and spoke to me about my father, you know, my earthly father. And I was really upset with Yahweh. I remember walking away and saying, Yahweh, why didn't you speak to me about my relationship that I just came out of, that I've experienced all this brokenness with? This is my immediate need. This is what I need relief from. I need relief from the pain of this relationship. Instead, Yahweh chose to speak to me about my fatherlessness. And it was very hard for me. And only many, many years later, probably about 10 years later, did I realize that it was my fatherlessness that led me to that relationship that was broken and that I didn't want to be in and that I shouldn't have needed. So you see, Yahweh spoke to me about something that I didn't expect him to speak to me about. And that wasn't my need. In my mind, that wasn't my need. I needed to know what was going to happen with this relationship. And so he sometimes speaks to us beyond our expectations, but it is actually a deeper need. It is actually what those guys needed on the road to Emmaus. They needed a savior for their soul. And sometimes I think that because Yahweh speaks to us and it can be quite confusing, like, why are you speaking to me about that? My immediate need right now is this. There's always a link. And so it really taught me to pay attention. If I'm dealing with brokenness here, Yahweh's not ignoring it. You know, but if he's speaking to me about something else, maybe that's the root cause of why I'm experiencing pain. And so sometimes when we come to him and we want him to speak to us, but we already know what he's going to say in our minds, we anticipate what he's going to say, it makes it hard to really hear him clearly because we are already giving an answer in his mouth that he hasn't yet said. Because just as human beings, we can, you know, kind of put the cart before the horse and think that we know what he's going to say. So I think it's just about really then learning that Yahweh can speak to us in many different ways and to pay attention when we do hear certain things and to pay attention when you know, there is a silence, but he is going to be speaking to us in those times, but it might look differently. It may be you reading your old journal. It may be that he wants you to be disciplined. I know that there have been times in my life where he's been very silent, and I've just consistently gone to the word every day, and I have not had revelation, and I have not had fireworks and thunder and anything, but I've just become disciplined. I believe a spiritual walk is a disciplined walk. And so then you just get in the word, you just read it, and you actually are refreshing your spirit, even though, you know, it's not like there's that depth of revelation that you really want. But eventually, one day, it's just like we said last week on the Restoration Hour, Yahweh wants the pursuit of him. He wants us to pursue him. He wants to see how much do we want of him. That's what he did with Abraham. He knew all the decisions Abraham would make, but yet he gave him 10 tests of faith to see how his faith would be worked out. He knew Abraham would willingly offer his son. He knew Abraham would leave his home. He knew he would do all those things, but it didn't stop him from testing Abraham. Yahweh knows what we're going to do. It doesn't stop him from being active in our tests and our trials and even in the silences, you know, to see how we're going to respond. Are we going to walk away from Jerusalem? Are we going to walk away from him towards something else in that moment? Temptation, trial, friends, whatever. Are we going to walk away, pack our bags and walk? Those guys were walking away, Yosef, from where life was. Yeshua said, go wait there in Jerusalem, go and wait. You know, they needed to be together. They needed to consistently be unified and to be stirring each other up in their faith in that hardship. But they're walking away from life because of their broken understanding. And I think that that's something that we shouldn't do in the times we are silent.
Amen. You know, Leah, you mentioned the temptations that we face and the things that we go through. And we spoke about, you know, just before the break, I said that in the midst of Yahweh's silence, we have to resist those temptations to go out and try to make happen what Yahweh told us. It's very, very dangerous to do that. To, for example, let's say Yahweh says, you know, you're going to be successful in business, to then just go out and begin to self-fulfill those words in our lives. We have to allow the word of Yahweh to come to fulfillment. But that also, at the same time, is a fine line, because we need to also have faith in the word of Yahweh for our lives. And sometimes that faith has to obviously be coupled with action. And it's important that we have discernment then from Yahweh to know when we need to wait and when we need to be proactive according to the word that he's given us. Because sometimes, you know, you have people that don't want to do anything with the word, and then you have others that run too quickly with the word. So we have to have discernment to know when Yahweh releases us to begin to do what he has asked us to do. Also, like I said, we have to silence all other voices. I think so often we tend to not hear the voice of Yahweh because we have so many other voices speaking to us. Not only, you know, voices of friends and you know, leaders or whatever. Yahweh has placed people in our lives to speak into our lives for seasons, whether it be a leader or whether it be a colleague or whether it be a friend. But at the same time, we still have societal voices, things in our society that screams at us consistently and causes us to sometimes have a misunderstanding of the truth of what Yahweh is trying to tell us, because we are so influenced, unfortunately, by the society that we live in, that so often we land up then going to see maybe, you know, somebody else, and that person gives us input into our lives and we think it's okay, but it's actually sidewinding us and causing us to go away from what Yahweh wants. So it's important that we allow the Father to speak to us. That's why it's so important to also be consistently praying to be filled with the Ruach of Yahweh, so that we can understand, you know, the voice of Yahweh. Because there are many voices, there are many false voices too. And that's why it's so important that we really know the voice of Yahweh. How he speaks to you as an individual could be very different to how he speaks to me. So we have to know that intimate voice of Yahweh. But I want to give you a few things this evening just to take with you, so that maybe, you know, you can take these as practical things as to maybe why Yahweh is not speaking, and maybe be able to make sense of this kind of, how do I say, season that we all go through. There's a time in everyone's life and walk where Yahweh is silent, and maybe we need to just ask Yahweh. You know, Yahweh is silent not only in the lives of individuals, but he's also silent collectively often for a reason. And I really kind of feel like collectively at the moment, Yahweh is pretty much silent in the sense of there is no great revivals happening. There is no great, you know, profoundness that is taking place on the earth. And maybe the reason for that, and I'm just saying maybe, it could be because just the same as before the time that Yeshua came to this earth, there was this time of silence, this time where there was nothing written about in the scriptures. And before Yeshua returns, there could be a reason why Yahweh is silent, so that the society that we live in has to get to a point where their reliance is no longer on self-sufficiency, but where it turns and it has to be back towards the Father. Where when Yahweh does speak, it's going to be so profound, as the book of Revelation says, that his voice is going to be like a mighty thunder. And I believe that when he really speaks, that the inhabitants of this earth are going to know that he is Yahweh. So here's the first one. Maybe he's just not ready to speak. Maybe, you know, just like the fullness of time and how things work, maybe Yahweh is just not ready to speak into a situation right now for your life. There could be a reason why he's not talking into a specific situation. Maybe it's just not time right now for an answer. Another one is that maybe he's already spoken to you, like we said. Maybe he's already given you a word, but that word is not inconsistent or in line with what you wanted. So instead of taking that word for a word of Yahweh or as truth, you run to other answers, try to find more meaning to what you have just received. So kind of Yahweh spoken to you, but it's not the answer that you were looking for. So you also maybe didn't pause and listen and wait to see if this is really what Yahweh wants. And Yahweh could have spoken to you and he's waiting for you to see, just like with Abraham, are you going to obey this word that he's given you? Or are you going to run and try and twist that word and get a different answer or a different outlook? Because sometimes Yahweh gives us answers that we don't like. It's the truth. Sometimes we receive, you know, answers from Yahweh that are difficult to deal with, and it becomes difficult for us. The other one is this. Maybe Yahweh is testing you. Like you said earlier, you know, Abraham went through so many different tests, And one of them is with the life of his son, where he was asked and told that he had to take Isaac and he had to sacrifice him. You know, Yahweh took 3 days before he actually told him what was going to happen. He was testing him to see if he would really do it, knowing, as you said, that he would eventually do it. But Yahweh then kept silent. So imagine Abraham hearing what Yahweh tells him, and then he doesn't know anything else for 3 days, and he's not so sure what must go on. But he knows that I have to take my son, I have to go journey to this place, and I have to sacrifice my child. So sometimes Yahweh could be silent because he's testing the motive of our hearts. How much do you really want what you're asking for? Sometimes we cry out to Yahweh and we're asking for things, and then Yahweh speaks to us and then he's silent for a long time. And I feel sometimes maybe it's also because Yahweh is trying to test and see our hearts. How much do we really want what he's giving us? And it's not like a nasty test. It's not like this thing of like a nasty father. It's just he's testing your heart so that your character can be refined, so that when you receive what he's going to give you, that it becomes such a part of your life and a blessing, and that you run with that thing into the days to come. So those are the fourth one is this, that he needs me to learn how to trust him and make the right decision. Sometimes we lack that ability to trust the Father. Sometimes we fear, we doubt, we like you said, we sit there with questions in our mind. So Yahweh is silent because if we keep on going and looking for an answer and answer and answer, we are never really going to sit back and have faith. We're never going to really sit back and trust him. We're never going to really say, hey, you know what, Yahweh, you told me this is how it is. I have to wait. So that waiting then produces in us perseverance and endurance. So many times we want to skip the perseverance and we want to skip the endurance, and we just want the answer immediately because it's too much for us to go through. And that's not what Yahweh wants. He wants us to be able to go through and persevere till the end, and then receive what Yahweh's promised us. Because in that journey, there is always blessing. And then the last one I wanted to share is this, that maybe you forgot what he said before. Maybe Yahweh has told you over and over and over, like in the Word, he's given us promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you. Maybe he's given us all these promises of, you know, that I am your father. I'm your great shield and your reward, like he said to Abraham. And then we're crying out and we're asking Yahweh for the answers that have already been told to us over and over in the scriptures, or over and over when we've been praying. And maybe that's why Yahweh is silent on those areas, because he actually wants us just to believe and have faith that what he told us, he is going to fulfill. Mm. So he doesn't need to, like I said, say it again. He says it to us. It's for us then to take hold of it. And it's difficult. I want to say this evening. What we are speaking about this evening is not just a click of your finger and tomorrow all of a sudden everything's going to be okay. The truth of the matter is that it's difficult. We live in this fallen world where we have broken relationships, where we have fathers maybe that are difficult to understand. Maybe we have parents that are difficult sometimes to get along with. So maybe in our lives growing up, our parents would then become silent when they were angry with us. And that often happens. I know that even, you know, in my own life, if my father gets silent, I get scared, because it's not in his character to normally be like that. Or even if my wife gets silent with me, then it's kind of anybody that just withdraws and becomes silent, you immediately, your antennas go up and you kind of like, what's going on? And fear steps in, and you think that you're in trouble, and you think that, you know, things are wrong. So it's that natural tendency, because of how we live and how we've been brought up, that when Yahweh, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is quiet, that immediately we have this feeling in our heart like, man, I'm in trouble, or I've done something wrong, or Yahweh doesn't love me. But that's not how Yahweh is. If Yahweh says that you are his child, then his love never changes. Yahweh doesn't move his love away from us just because we're struggling, or just because we're going through a hard time, or just because maybe you fought with somebody and a swear word flew out of your mouth, you know, and you kind of upset at that moment, and then you realize what you did. Yahweh doesn't turn his back on you and say, you know, you sinful person, I'm never going to talk to you again. Yahweh's love endures, but he wants you to change. He wants us to be renewed. And he doesn't just leave us in that state that we're in. He's always with us and he's always loving us. But his silence is for a reason. And his silence, we have to also understand, is for a moment. It's for a season. Yahweh's not going to always be silent in your life. He's not always going to be like dead quiet. There's going to be moments in your life where he's really profoundly going to speak. And those are the moments that we have to hold on to. And lastly, what I want to say is this. You know, one of the greatest warriors in the scripture, one of the greatest kings, David, one of the kings of Israel that was serving Yahweh, you know, he was anointed by Yahweh to be king. He was chosen by Yahweh as a young person to be king. But yet in that moment, he never doubted. He never tried to self-fulfill the word. He never tried to go after Saul and kill him and take the throne and sit on the throne. He was chosen by Yahweh, but he kept that word of Yahweh, the word and the anointing that Yahweh had given him. He kept it in his heart. But you know, David's life, think about it. David's life, here he is anointed as king, chosen by Yahweh, and he's given this promise over and over that no matter what happens, there will always be someone of his lineage to sit on the throne. He has this great promise given to him, but yet David, in the Psalms, is continually crying out to Yahweh. And he's continually asking him, why are you being silent? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you, Yahweh, telling me all these things, but people are against me, and where are you? Like, why are you not helping me? So in his humanness, just like us, he chose to believe yet in all of that, the words of Yahweh. You see it in the Psalms often. A lot of the writers of Psalms, David and others, they all say that. Yahweh, where are you? But even though I don't see you, even though I don't experience you, I will hold tight to your promises. I will hold tight to your word. I will be faithful in this trial.
You know, it's so, so powerful what you just said, because even David himself, I mean, anointed by Samuel the prophet, the same prophet that anointed Saul, came to, you know, David when he was very young and looking after, you know, the youngest of the family, looking after his father's sheep. Maybe at that time, we know, like, he wasn't in the army, so he must have maybe been about 15 years old. He's anointed by the prophet Samuel and say that you're going to be king one day. And like you said, David didn't go and grab that, you know, that time when he was in the cave and Saul came in and David's men, they were all hiding and they're like, you see, God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Even then, David didn't take Saul's life so that he could take what he knew God had promised him. You know, he waited for Yahweh to hand it to him. He consistently had that respect for what Yahweh wanted to do and what Yahweh would do. And then if David was 15, it meant that he would wait a further 15 years. In other words, he had only lived half his life. He would live another half of his life before then he becomes, you know, the king of a united Israel. That would be a golden era. And so he doesn't take that for himself. And I think that there's a lot of parts of David's life that I don't like, but this is one part of his life that I really respect him for so much, that he can really teach us so much for. It was really just, imagine receiving that great promise. You're going to be king over a nation. It is massive. It is huge. And you just wait for it. You're not grasping it. You're not seeking it. You just consistently do Yahweh's will and sometimes your own will in between. And we know, even with the Psalms, Yosef, you know, David writes a lot of Psalms when he's in the wilderness, when he's on the run. That's when he begins to write all those Psalms. When, you know, Michal lets him out of down that window, they have only one night of a honeymoon. She lets him down. He runs away. He goes and hides in the wilderness, you know, and all the people start coming to him. His family starts joining him. And it's then that he starts to write these incredible Psalms. And he writes so many of them when he's on the run and when it's hard. But then you see when David goes and lives with the Philistines, because we know he goes and lives in Ziklag, which was in Philistine territory, then we see a huge silence even in David's Psalm walk with Yahweh, which means that David, when he was living in Philistine territory, was doing raids. The Bible tells us consistently raiding, you know, different groups of people and doing some very sketchy things, you know, killing a lot of people and just doing all these things. But there was a time period where he lived in that territory where he himself experienced the silence with Yahweh. He writes no Psalms for months and months and months and months and months. It's not just in the Psalms where he's expressing that silence. It's in how we see him living out his life, where Yahweh is not speaking to him in that way, and he's not speaking to Yahweh in that way. So he's not receiving, but Yahweh is still at work. He's still, people are joining themselves to David. People are seeing him as a great leader. People are beginning to realize this is the man that God has chosen, and we need to join ourselves to him. So even though Yahweh's not speaking to him, there's no psalm writing, there's a gathering of people, and there's a setting up of what Yahweh will do. then Yahweh joins the leaders of Judah, which is obviously, you know, David's own tribe, to him. And they even come and live with him in the wilderness. And that's why he could become king in Hebron in Judah when Yahweh's time was perfect, because he was drawing those people to him. So Yahweh does different things in different seasons of our lives. And if you know, David was just looking for Yahweh in the Psalms, like he had always done, you know, playing on his harp and experiencing Yahweh like that in such a beautiful way, because he will do that again, you know, then he would have probably missed what Yahweh was doing in that Philistine territory where David was. And that was building a name for David, building a, you know, authority on his life, building him that he would represent who they wanted to be as king. And it was that moment and that time that, you know, Yahweh needed to do that. So I really want to just encourage my own heart this evening, encourage everyone that's listening to, maybe in different seasons of our lives, we will hear Yahweh differently and he will work differently. And then we're not hearing him speak, so we're getting nervous, but Yahweh maybe is building a name for you. Maybe he's building authority in you. Maybe he's building you into a place and into a person at your work, at your workplace. Maybe, you know, he's instilling respect in your colleagues for you to set you up into something that he wants to do. Maybe he's, you know, building into you a future and a business that he wants you to have, you know, to receive, and he's not going to be speaking because he's building something in you. So it's not that he's silent, like you said, and not doing anything. It's silent with a purpose. And then, you know, when that silence ends, you'll look back and go, wow, that's what you were actually doing in that time period. You know, your actions speak louder than your words sometimes. Yahweh, his actions really do speak because he's doing things. And I pray that that encourages our hearts tonight, Joseph, yours and mine, and everybody that's listening, because I know that we all go through those hard times, even where the words of Yahweh haven't made sense, even when you don't see them coming to pass. And that's very difficult to deal with. And also the times of the silence. And I pray that even in the times of the silence, that we will experience something of Yahweh, you know, something of his closeness, so that we can be assured of his love, so that we can be assured of his goodness for us and his consistent faithfulness to us. You know, it's incredible, because it was while we were still yet sinners that Yeshua died for us. How much more now that we believe in him will he do for us? He's not going to turn his back on us. He's not, you know, it was while we were that wretched sinner without salvation that he says, it was then that I came for you, then that I died for you. It was then that I chose you, then at that state. Imagine how much more now am I going to do for you? Mm-hmm. You know, now that you're my child, now that you are, you know, have tasted redemption, now that you reveal me to the earth, I'm going to do so much more. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I never will abandon you or fail you. I will always be with you no matter what. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm going to be here. And so, you know what, let's go to our final song of the evening called Hills and Valleys. And you know what, if you have prayer requests, we want you to be able to put it down. We will pray for you when we come back, or else we will just pray, you know, after the song. So enjoy.
One, two, three, four. Among the shadows, you wiped my tears away, and I felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days, and I break rest to heaven from my lowest place, and I have held the blessings God you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I'm standing in your love. On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley I know I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys. My dreams get broken, in you I hope again. No matter what, I know I'm safe inside your hand. to say, let it be your name, yeah, yeah. And I am not alone.
Father, we want to thank you in the name of Yeshua this evening, Father, for your word, and we want to thank you that you are God that speaks, Father, even though sometimes you are silent, you are still working within us, Father, you are still working around us, and you are still working your good pleasure, Father, so that everything that you have promised shall come to pass. Father, we thank you that your word is faithful, that your word is yes and amen. Father, what has been written from the foundation, Father, of this earth and this world, Father, shall come to pass. And as we wait, Father, for the return of Messiah Yeshua, I pray, Father, that we will not grow weary in waiting for you. Even when you are silent, Father, I pray that we will hold tight to your promises, promises that have held us, promises that have carried us, promises, Father, that are still going to carry us into the days to come. And we thank you for that. Father, I want to thank you for every person that has joined this evening and those that are still listening later, Father. I pray that in their lives, Father, that they will continue to cultivate a life, Father, of intimacy with you. A life, Father, where you are the source of everything that they do. That you are the one, Father, that they are rooted into. We pray, Messiah Yeshua, that you will lead them and guide them into all truth on a daily basis. And Father, that as they lean not upon their own understanding, but acknowledge you in all their ways, that you will make their path straight. And we thank you for that. Father, we want to just pray this evening for Colleen, and we thank you this evening, Father, for her friend. And we really want to lift up this friend to you, Father. And we know, Yahweh, that in this time that we are alive in, that there is a great deception, Father, of many believers falling into this pit, Father, where they believe that Messiah Yeshua is not necessary to their faith. We know, Father, that that is a lie, straight from the enemy, Father. So we pray that her eyes, Father, will be open, that her spiritual ears will be open, and Father, that she will come to a point where she realizes, Father, the difference between who Yeshua really is, Father, and the written Torah, Father, the Torah that is just a letter, Father, without Messiah Yeshua. It is nothing unless it points, Father, to the goal that is Messiah Yeshua. So we pray for her, Father. We pray for her heart. We pray for her mind. We pray for her spirit, Father, and we ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that she will be turned, Father, from this path of destruction into the way of life, that she will come to know, Father, that Messiah Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life, that there is no way to the Father except through him. And we pray for her. Father, we also want to thank you that, as Colleen says, Father, that she has come to this point where she has realized, Yahweh, that there is this fear of rejection in her life. And I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will uproot it. Father, that you will remove it out of her life, Father, because I believe that you have a calling and a purpose for her life. And Father, that fear is the one thing that grips us and causes us to steer away from what you have for us, Father, and what you have called us for. So we pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, as she already says, Father, that her eyes have been opened, that her heart has come to this point of realizing that it's there. But Father, that you will be the great physician, that you will take it out. Father, that you will take it out, and that you will be merciful and gracious and compassionate towards her. And Father, that you will remove it and restore in her, Father, that which needs to be restored, and give to her, Father, the ability and the confidence, Father, to be a strong person in the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua. And we thank you for your life. We give you all the glory and all the honor this evening, Father. And we pray that you will bless your people. Father, make them strong in you through the power of your Ruach. Help us, Father, not to be swayed by every wind of doctrine. Help us, Father, not to be people, Father, that listen to the voice of others or the voice of the age, Father, but put our hope and our trust in you. Help us also, Father, not to be people who are so swayed, Father, by the events of what are going on right now, and cause those events, Father, to make us stumble and fall and not get busy with our Father's business. Father, we need to be busy with your business and with what is important, Father, and let those matters, Father, the things that are still to take place will take place, and they are not in our hands, Father, they are in yours. So help us, Father, to keep our eyes focused on the author and perfecter of our faith, and to run this race with endurance, Father, staying in the lane that we have been placed in and running until we get the prize. We thank you for this, Father, and we give you all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you all on the Restoration Hour today. And you know what? I really know that Abba Father is with us and that he has blessed us during this time. So have a Shavua Tov. May he really continue to bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you. Until next week, see you then.
Shalom.
I've never known
a love like yours. So intimate, so powerful. And I've tasted, I've seen, and nothing comes close. I've never known a love like yours. Jesus, your name is power. It's breath and living water. And your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. Let your praise ring louder every day and every hour. 'Cause your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. I've never felt at home like this. Just like a child, so innocent. And I'm safe inside your arms, 'cause you won't let go. I've never known a love like yours, no. Jesus, your name is power. It's breath and living water. In your spirit guides me to the heart. God, we sing praise.